Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt. Today, talking with Miss Teresa Ogletree, currently middle school teacher in Overton County. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming out. So talk a lot of education topics, so a lot of different things to talk about. But let's start. Tell me a little bit about yourself and what you're teaching and where you're teaching. And then we'll get into a little more in depth after that.
Okay. Currently, I have been at Livingston Middle School for the last 2 years doing ELA, seventh grade. And I have been moved to Allen's Elementary, which is my old home school where I went to school, my son went to school, my grandkids went to school. So it's like going back home to teach seventh and eighth grade science for this year.
Okay, seventh and eighth grade science. So you have been across quite a few different areas.
A lot of areas.
In your career.
In my long career.
Yeah, so I definitely want to talk about some of those. But one of the questions that I ask everyone always is, who was your favorite teacher growing up? But then you got to tell me a little bit about why.
Okay. I think probably one of my favorite teachers was Juanita Moody in high school. She was my Algebra 1 teacher. I wasn't very good at algebra, but she made it interesting, and there was a lot of funny things that happened in her class. So I would say Miss Moody might have been one of my favorite teachers.
Okay, for algebra. I don't know. I've had a few people mention math teachers, but it can be a struggle.
I didn't say it was my best subject. Maybe that's why she was one of my favorite teachers, mm-hmm. is because it was not one of my favorite subjects.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes those teachers in those subjects that we struggle in, when they're pulling us along, it is memorable because we have a hard time.
It is. I struggled in that algebra class.
Yeah, so, in those areas.
Yes.
So how did you get into education in the first place? What drew you there? And did you start in education?
I did start in education. I don't know. Ever since I was a child, I always knew I wanted to be an educator. And it kind of runs in my family. My brother's been in education his whole life. My sister's in education. My dad was in education for a while. So I have a lot of family members that has gravitated toward education. So it's just kind of been one of those things that I've really never veered very far away from. Mm-hmm. So I've always known I wanted to be an educator.
Yeah. And it's challenging now because we have a hard time pulling people in, and we have more people coming into education through alternative pathways than we do straight out of college.
We do. As a matter of fact, last year, year before last, I did an ISM class, which is, you know, every so often they go college path or work path or whatever path, they change all the time. And so now we're in this path of trying to get kids to pick a path other than college. But my principal wanted me to do a teaching as a profession and get elementary, middle school children interested in becoming teachers. And it was so sad. Couldn't get anybody that was very interested in it. Mm-hmm. Two or three, mm-hmm. maybe. And I gave them all the real good reasons to do it. Mm-hmm. But, there's a lot of negative connotations about teaching now with our society. So mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to do that. Mm-hmm. But I'm still trying.
Yeah, it can be challenging. And I think that as a profession, we could probably do a better job identifying those students who would be good teachers.
Yes.
And pulling them along.
And we need to do that. We do need to do that because mm-hmm. we're going to have them always. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it has changed, certainly has changed along the way. So you came straight out of college.
I did.
And so you went to Tennessee Tech.
Tennessee Tech.
A few years ago, and we were just talking about that, and Tennessee Tech looks a little different now.
Looks a little different now.
I will say that we're still the College of Education, although yes. we've added College of Education and Human Sciences.
Oh, okay, interesting.
To make sure that people know we have psychology and exercise yes. science as well. But we still feel like, and we still educate the largest number of teachers in the state of Tennessee.
Wow, today. That's interesting. That's good.
Overall, other university. So I feel like even though it's been a few years, we still are doing things pretty well.
Yes.
In terms of educating teachers when we get them.
Well, when I graduated, it was hard to get a job in mm-hmm. education. You mm-hmm. know, it was really hard. Now I don't know it's that hard. They're needing teachers. I just noticed not too long ago on the state website, the metropolitan areas have a hard time mm-hmm. filling their positions. Mm-hmm. Rural, not so much, but mm-hmm. yeah, metropolitan, they're struggling. They need lots of teachers.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll start the school year with 300 vacancies.
Right. Yeah.
We have, so in March now, we have a career fair for our
yes.
educators.
Good.
And it's really more for the employers
yes.
to come and compete for educators than it is the other way around.
I bet.
And it's quite entertaining to see the employers, especially if, because we put your major and your name on,
yes.
on a name tag.
Yes.
And so when they see special education or secondary math.
Math.
That they will chase them. But even now, elementary ed, I've seen
yeah.
directors who are there sign contracts for elementary ed teachers on the spot
yeah,
at the career
crazy.
Fair.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. So one of the questions that I had, I know that since you've been in it for a few years, things look different. So just walking into the classroom this year versus when you started, how does that look different?
Technology. Definitely technology. Of course, when I started, there was no computers in the classroom. And even I took a break from education after about 19 years. I took a break for several years and traveled and was a business owner. And then, of course, I made my way back mm-hmm. to education. So when I came back, the biggest thing was technology in the classroom and everything being so computerized. And I know it's present way we learn, but there's still a lot of things that we need to go back to, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like I had seventh grade students that couldn't read a digital clock. They couldn't read a regular clock. They could mm-hmm. not read that till time. And I'm like, yeah, you're going to learn to do that. Even
yeah.
though we're reading class, you're going to learn to read that clock.
Uh-huh.
But just the surprise, I guess, in how much it's technical now.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to when I started or even when I left for a break.
Mm-hmm.
It's really changed a lot that way.
So did you find that any of that you had to kind of accept it and figure out how to use it? Or did you just kind of push it away and try to roll on without it?
No, the reading curriculum that I came back to was pretty much all online.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to learn it. The first year was quite a learning curve for me. But last year I felt like I embraced it a whole lot better. And I still did a lot of things on paper and pencil as much as I could. But still, the curriculum is you know, technical. So you have to learn to use a lot of the technology.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I had to learn probably more than the children did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Along the way. And did you find yourself asking the children to help sometimes?
Oh, all the time they'll say, Miss O. That's what they call me most of the time. Miss O, it's this. Miss O, do this. Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't care to tell them, I'm new at this. You're going to have to help me.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't bashful at that. So I let them know I'm new mm-hmm. at it. So,
And there are still things that we've come full circle with. So
we have.
With the legislators banning cell phone use during instructional time.
Oh, yes.
You know, that's a shift because many years ago, and my primary area is technology,
yes.
educational technology.
Yes.
And so many years ago when cell phones and iPods
yes.
first started being popular,
yes.
you know, the educational community thought, well, this could be a good tool, you
yes.
know, and let's try to figure out how to use it.
Yeah.
And now I feel like we've come full circle and
yeah.
and it's like, well, no, there aren't many ways that we can use it without it being a distraction.
Well, it's like I tell my grandchildren who are still in the education system in Overton County is – the new law's passed and you're not going to be able to have your phones. Of course, the school I was at, we took them up every day and they turned them in till the end of the day. And they didn't use them on a regular basis either
mm-hmm.
during school hours. But still, you got your computers and you got your laptops and you've got all that going on. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of technology.
Yeah, and it's a major change, and really finding, and I've been lucky to have kind of lived in both worlds.
Yes.
Because when I started kindergarten, and we had no technology either, but by the time I graduated, we had the internet, and we had mm-hmm. a lot of technology, and so to me, finding that balance, because you do want to have students prepared for specific things.
Yes.
Like coding.
Yes.
You know, I felt like that's a reasonable thing in a class setting to teach.
Yes.
But then I still am a little old school in terms of there are times of the day when you need a pencil and paper and interaction with the teacher.
Well, I mean, cursive writing. I mean, when I was teaching before, that was part of a subject that mm-hmm. you saw taught, and I did teach cursive writing. So to come back and see kids that don't even know how to cursive write their name, mm-hmm. and I'm like, no, you're going to learn to write your name, because when you go to official papers, you have to sign your name. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to sign your name unless, of course, it's something that's emailed and you sign your name with a click of, you know. But to go in a bank, mm-hmm. you're going to have to mm-hmm. sign your name. Mm-hmm. But they're like, I don't know. But then once they did it, they thought it was fun. So a lot of things have changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, changed. And it's we try to adapt to as much of that. Training teachers, you know, we've evolved in terms of training teachers in many, many ways. But then ultimately, at the end of the day, there are things you can't teach, and there are personalities that we have to keep track of and get them in the classroom and work on those skills.
Yes.
So it has been quite the change and the shift for us all the way around.
True.
Yeah. Well, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about your classroom.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking with Miss Ogletree, or Miss O.
Yes.
As your kids call you. So this past few years, you've been teaching English language arts.
Yes.
Before you jumped out of the school system.
Yes.
Is that what you were teaching at that point?
No, actually, I've taught a little bit of everything in my career. I've taught self-contained third and fourth. I've taught departmentalized fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, reading. Health. Used to we had health. Now mm-hmm. it's all kind of in with science, so that's another change. But just a mixture. I've got a lot of experience in my few years that I've been in it.
Yeah. What was your favorite so far? What's been your favorite subject?
I love teaching health when I taught health. But then I like teaching reading. And English. I like teaching English and reading.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that has changed.
That has changed.
Obviously, very, very dramatically.
Dramatically.
And we could spend an hour talking about the legislators and the things that they change, good or bad, in education.
Yes.
But just in terms of day-to-day in your classroom,
yes.
How has that changed, and what do you think, positive, negative, since you've been teaching that?
Trying to get all the standards from English language together, and then reading, spelling, handwriting, which was cursive. All of those were separate when I first started, and now they're all thrown into one, and you have close to 200 standards to try to meet. And, of course, a lot of emphasis putting on that one test every year. That means so much. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of pressure on teachers and children mm-hmm. to do that, and especially third grade. I can't imagine teaching third grade mm-hmm. And trying to get them to pass that reading when it's a shot in the dark on what's going to be on those tests. You have no idea what's going to be on those tests. And then, of course, when you give the test, you can't look at the test, so you don't know how to prepare. Mm-hmm. For the next group, you know, they'll give you a standard, and you don't know how they're going to word the questions and if it's the way you teach it. And it's just a lot of pressure on kids and teachers
mm-hmm.
and parents now. Mm-hmm. You know, parents have a lot of pressure on, you know, what avenue they're going to take with those third grade children if they don't meet the standards. Are they going to have tutoring for the fourth grade? Are they going to go to summer school? Are they going to repeat the grade? You know, that's a lot to do on one test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And to see the, I think a trickle down from that is the added pressure even with second grade and first grade, you know, and all the way back to kindergarten.
Yes.
You know, just moving down, preparing for that third grade year. If you could wave a magic wand and not have the third grade retention law as it stands, how do you think, with your year's experience, what do you think would be a good solution or a good alternative to that process?
Well, I'm old school, so I'm with those children 9 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I should know whether those children have the skills daily to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have children that don't test well. They get nervous and they don't test well, but then they may have those skills down really well. But because of that one test and the pressure that's put on it, they don't sleep well, or, you know, just that one test is kind of a, I wish legislatures could come in our classroom and watch those kids daily. We test them often. We should have enough education and training about ourselves to know whether they should be able to go on. It seems like another thing maybe that has changed since I was first started used to, it was the teacher's opinion whether that child retained or whether that child went on. And now it doesn't seem like there's very many children ever retained. And then you throw in this third grade retention law, but you don't have any retaining in the other classes and the other grades. And it's like, okay, why so much in third grade?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if third grade is the right level or not. Maybe mm-hmm. it might be too late. You know, we may need to take that down to first and second grade. But I think more than anything is just they've kind of took that retention away from teachers and their opinion. And they're the ones that's in there with them every day. You know, so we should know whether they're capable of handling the next grade or not. So that's one thing that's changed a lot.
Yeah. And I think that a slice of that is the changing viewpoint of teachers as professionals.
Exactly.
You know, I feel like, and especially from the ed prep side, we prepare teachers, and I feel like by the time a teacher graduates and they spend several years teaching, they are professionals.
Yes.
You know, they but I don't feel like they're valued as professionals in society the way that they were,
you know,
years past.
That's really sad, because even the kids that you have in your class every day will tell you, you know, that's one reason they don't want to be teachers is, you know, nobody looks at teachers. And so they're professionals. And of course, they're not paid on the level that most professionals are paid on. And they'll tell you, the kids will tell you, oh, no, teachers don't make enough money, which is true, because if their parents are working in a factory and they know that they make more working in a factory, you know, than teachers do, then that's hard to, you know, overcome and try to convince them, you know, oh, well, you need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. And having those, there are so many to me, you know, we're doing a really good job of encouraging post-secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's TCAT or community college or going to a university, something post-secondary is good. But I don't even really feel like anyone is really encouraging students to teach. You know, there's strong encouragement for TCAT right now.
Right, there is.
And there's incentives for, you know, free community college. I feel like there are all these incentives, but I feel like we need more positive. We do the best we can.
We do.
At the university.
Yes.
And I think many teachers also do, but it's an uphill battle.
If they've not kind of made their mind up before they get to college, it's hard to change it, you know, into, you know, like me, like I said, I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. And sometimes I think that's the way education majors are. They they have that little mindset all the way through their life, and they don't change that. They're going to be teachers, but it seems like, unfortunately, we don't have as many of those as we used to have. I mean, I remember when I was in school, there was a lot of people going to be teachers. And fortunately, I feel lucky because I educated a lot of people now that are educators in Overton County and a lot of places. And so I'm actually going to be working with some teachers this coming year that I educated in elementary school. So it's kind of like, oh, that's cool. You know, I don't know how they're going to feel about it. But they were good students, and I'm so proud that they've grown up to be teachers, you know. So, yeah, we need to do better at that.
And so you do get to see some of those full circle moments.
Oh, I do.
So you have made a difference. You have been able to encourage some people to come back into education.
Yeah, I've educated the principal. He was one of my students, the one that's at the Livingston Academy now. He was principal. He's principal now, and he was one of my elementary students. So, yeah, it's full circle.
Yeah, well, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back, and I want to talk to you a little bit about some of your other educational experiences.
Okay.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt. Today, talking education, along a full career with Miss O, Miss Ogletree. So you've taught a lot of different things. We've established that. One of the things that I do want to talk about is a time when you kind of jumped out of the traditional classroom and you were working in the Trousdale. Was it called Trousdale at the time?
Trousdale Turner. TTCC.
Mm-hmm. And so you were working with prisoners.
Men prisoners.
Okay, male prisoners. So teaching. So we actually have some students. We've worked with some of our candidates who teach in different areas. So I've been to the Trousdale prison. To check on candidates. I've been to the Morgan County Regional, so we've been to several.
Yeah, I was at Morgan County one year also.
Okay. As a teacher.
As a teacher.
Okay, we have to clarify that.
Yes, as a teacher. Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about what that looks like. Well, first of all, how did you get into that? Because I imagine most people don't typically say, this is something that I want to do.
Correct.
Initially.
Correct. Well, I had been out of education for quite a while, and I, like I said earlier, I was in the business and I traveled, and then it got time for me. I thought, maybe I want to go back into education, but I wasn't sure I wanted to go back to the school system. I wasn't sure that I could, because I had been out for a while, and I just didn't know if technical wise I was where I needed to be. Maybe I didn't give myself enough credit. But I was just scanning and skimming jobs and stuff, and saw where there was teachers needed at prisons. And Trousdale Turner is a private prison. So I applied, not thinking much about it. Got a call for an interview, and I thought, oh, well, what the heck, I'll go. I had never been to a prison. I'd really never been to a jail. Didn't know anybody that had been in prison or really in jail. Luckily, I did not know much about that lifestyle. But I went for an interview, and I had a few other interviews lined up at different times and different places at about the same time that this was all coming down. And I told the people that I had some other applications in and stuff. So they called me the very next day and offered me the job. And so I said, okay, I'll take it. So I didn't know much about it. I went in for training, and the training was a week. And that was a little different. It was a little scary because the training had nothing really to do with teaching at the prison. It had to do with security and saving yourself and things like that, things that went on at a prison. And every day I'd come home and my family would ask, what did you do today? And I'd tell them what it was, and they're like, oh, you ain't going back. You're not going back. I'm like, yeah, I want to finish the training. You know, it was interesting enough that I wanted to finish the training. And I did. And then My first place that I served when I was there was in the library in the education building. And it was almost like the very first day that I was in there among the inmates. And you're in there among all inmates, mm-hmm. you know, the worst of the worst and the best of the worst. And I don't know. I was never scared. And I would see especially the young ones, and I'd say, what are you doing in here? How old are you? And I would talk to them like I did students that I had, mm-hmm. you know, regular students out on the streets. And they accepted me, and you know, it was just a very interesting mix of people that you meet. And I loved it, really. I did love it. Of course, in a prison, there are different things that you teach. Of course, a lot of people are very interested in it when they find out you're there. You have a million questions. Mm-hmm. You know, you can teach them and get them prepared to take the GED so they can mm-hmm. get their diploma. But most of the time that I taught, and I did do that for a while, but most of the time that I was there, I had a class that prepared them to go home. They were getting – it was students that was getting ready to go home. Some had been in there 20-something years. Some had been in there 3 years. But just to get them ready to understand, especially the ones that had been in for a long time, what life was like mm-hmm. now. Like, they weren't aware there was no payphones. And, you know, mm-hmm. life just really changed. You better get a debit card because they don't take a lot of cash. And just – different things, but what I enjoyed so much was their openness about how they would tell you why they were there, or they would tell you why they shouldn't have been there, and, you know, I guess just the human aspect of it and how you could help them. I really, really enjoyed it, but it was quite the travel, and because we don't have a prison around here, the closest one would be over an hour away. Mm-hmm. So, and then education in our public schools got to where they needed teachers. And I said, okay, maybe that's what I need to do. So that's kind of how I came back.
Yeah.
The need for public school teachers became pretty severe.
Mm-hmm. And I think that some of the areas of the prison education that I became educated on, and that was part mm-hmm. of the reason I went along with a faculty member to the different prisons to check on our teachers in training.
Yes.
To me, was to understand the system. And
yes.
So we got to hear a lot about how, you know, they didn't have very many textbooks, and you know, they have some internal computers, but there's nothing connected to the internet.
No, we didn't even and have so, computers when I was there.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's pre-programmed, maybe a you know, yeah. a module that
yes.
teaches you something
yes.
very specific.
Yes,
and
very.
That's
They've
it.
Added those recently, though. Mm-hmm. They did not have them. Most everything was paper and pencil and textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
And what you could work at as a teacher on the internet to find that they needed or, you know, is pretty limited.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's better now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've added more things now. Or the state prisons has. I'm not so sure that the private prisons mm-hmm. has went that far yet.
And then the education, as best I understood, where we visited, it can be tied to their release.
Yes.
You know, if they complete certain things,
yes.
they can be eligible for early release.
Yes, they get good times mm-hmm. for attending. And if they finish completing those things, they'd get 60 days off or something off their sentence. So, yeah. It was good. And then, of course, there's a lot of trades. You know, mm-hmm. a lot mm-hmm. of prisons have trades, a lot of good trades. They get out and they can get good jobs
mm-hmm.
With some of the trades they have in prison.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very similar to a lot of the TCATs.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I think some of the TCATs have went into some of the prisons. Maybe
mm-hmm.
I know that there's some at Trousdale right now.
Mm-hmm.
That are doing trades. Maybe when I was there before, they had building trades. They had computer. They had plumbing for a little while. It's hard to get people to work in
mm-hmm.
a prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard to get them to work there.
Yeah, it can be. It can be challenging.
Very.
And I think that, you know, we sometimes think of prisons and prisoners. We forget. You mentioned the human aspect. We forget that. You know,
yeah,
we forget that how much more valuable a person who has a skill is to society when they get out of prison.
And there's a lot of them. Most mm-hmm. of them are going to get out. Mm-hmm. You know, 70-80% probably. I don't know what that number is now. But most of them are going to get out and live among us. Mm-hmm. And we need to do our best at preparing them to be out, get out, and be productive citizens. We mm-hmm. need to do that. And I enjoyed that. I really did enjoy that. And it's funny because when I went back to public schools and when I was not there for the in-service in the beginning, and my principal introduced me and said, well, she'll be here as soon as the prison releases her. And, of course, everybody was like, what? Uh-huh. You know? So, yeah, that was kind of funny. Some people that did not know me very well was like, prison. Mm-hmm. She'd been in prison. But then the students, when they found out that I had taught in a prison, was interesting. Their reactions, they have a million questions. And sadly, a lot of them are very acquainted because they have family members that are there. And that's the sad part. You know, they would ask me, was my parent there? Was my dad there? Was, you know, and I said, honey, I don't know. Mm. But very interesting topic. They always wanted to hear prison stories, mm-hmm. prison stories. And mm-hmm. I would be as honest with them as I could be without being too graphic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and playing a small role, because it is valuable for prisoners, you know, anyone who's in prison, while they're in prison, to have something to work towards.
Right.
And so I imagine it would be rewarding. Right. To play a part in that.
It is.
And I would much rather see someone, to run into someone at Walmart that you were in a positive education relationship with, you know, in prison.
And I have a few have come to our church. I would openly tell them where I went to church. And if they were from around the area, tell them, hey, come to church, you know, and some did. Come to church, you know, that had been in prison. And that always feels good to have a relationship, you know, a good relationship like that mm-hmm. once they left the prison and know they're doing well, mm-hmm. you know. So,
well, and I imagine it gives you a very unique perspective.
It does.
On the regular classroom.
It definitely does.
Having those experiences along the way.
Oh, it definitely does. Know.
So so then back to science this upcoming year.
Back to science this coming year.
Yeah, so that will be fun.
Yes, it'll be new. I haven't done that in a while, so mm-hmm. yeah, it'll be new. I'm sure a lot of changes
mm-hmm.
since I was there before in science.
Right. Yeah. But you've got the year's experience and the time.
You'll
hit the ground running. I wasn't going to say that.
That's okay. I tell the kids all the time, I'm old. Yeah. I'm old. It's okay. I am old. So I don't want them to use me. I'll use them and tell them how. I'll beat them to it.
Yeah.
So,
well, it'll be
but
great.
I enjoy it. I still enjoy teaching kids. I still enjoy it.
Well, good. Well, it'll be a great year. Well, I appreciate you coming out to talk. We've reached the end of our time.
All right.
It's very nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.